Good morning, church family. Today marks the 6 month mark of us being online together. This is week 26. I am so glad that you are here with us virtually. Thanks for joining in. And many things have been going on in our country and in our city this week. I'm very mindful of all the fires that have been destroying some of the beautiful parts of our country this week. And I know that some of us have friends and family who are watching that closely and in the middle of some hazardous times. And so may we be mindful of that as a church, because we know what it's like to live through natural disasters. And that has been close to my heart. I also know that HISD started school this week virtually, and the sergeants very much experienced that in our house, and we have friends and close relatives who are traversing online school as teachers and administrators and faculty, and so may our encouragement and peace and grace go out to them and to all of our little ones in this neighborhood and in our homes that are also going to online school instead of sitting in classrooms with their friends and their teachers. And although we are very mindful of safety, we are also very mindful that this is hard for many, and online learning may not be the best avenue for them. But one of the really cool things this week that we got to do in our house is we got to listen to Cora learn. We got to listen to Cora talk to all of her friends. We got to listen to Cora's teacher talk to her. One of my favorite parts of her third grade class is they can all raise their little hands virtually at the beginning of their homeroom, and they share good news. And the kids talk about good things that are happening in their families or their homes or with their friends. And it is precious to hear all of these 8 and 9 year olds talk about the good news that they have to share during really hard times. So I thought that we would do that right now. So take your little fingers and type out some good news from this week. I will share one of mine. I got up at 6 a.m. on Saturday and I ran a 10K all by myself with a friend who was doing it also all by herself in Abilene. And it was really fun to be able to text with her and do those 6 miles. And when I got to my front door, Steve was waiting for a medal for me and my little racing bib, and it was a joy. And so that is my good news. So I cannot wait to go sit over there and read all of your good news as we settle in to this morning with the good news that God has for us, that Lori is going to present to us in a psalm, that Michael Tucker is here and he is going to help lead us that in song, and then Steve is going to bring that to us with a word from God. And so I believe there is good news for us to hear this morning, even in the middle of virtual church, even in the middle of being separated for 6 months. I miss you, friends. Make sure you take some time this morning to gather things for communion, something to drink, something to eat. We are going to take part in that together. And then Cora, my little one, is going to come up here and light the candle signifying 26 weeks. It is good to be with you, church. Welcome to this 26th week of virtual Southwest Central Church.
Good morning, church family. Let all that I am praise the Lord. With my whole heart, I will praise his holy name. Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things he does for me. He forgives all my sins and heals all my diseases. He redeems me from death and crowns me with love and tender mercies. He fills my life with good things. My youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord gives righteousness and justice to all who are treated unfairly.
Good morning. Let's join in song together. Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. O my soul, praise Him, for He is thy health and salvation. All ye who hear, now to His temple draw near. Join me in glad adoration. Praise to the Lord, who o'er all things so wondrously reigneth, shieldeth thee under His wings, yea, so gently sustaineth. Hast thou not seen how thy desires e'er have been granted in what He ordaineth? Praise to the Lord, who doth prosper thy work and defend thee. Surely His goodness and mercy here daily attend thee. Ponder anew what the Almighty can do, if with His love He befriend thee. Praise to the Lord, O let all that is in me adore Him. All that hath life and breath, come now with praises before Him. Let the Amen sound from His people again. Gladly forever adore Him. Gladly forever adore Him. How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that He should give His only Son to make a wretch His treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the Father turns His face away, as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Behold the man upon a cross, my sin upon His shoulders. Ashamed, I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held Him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. I will not boast in anything, no gifts, no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, His death and resurrection. Why should I gain from His reward? I cannot give an answer. But this I know with all my heart, His wounds have paid my ransom.
So good to have the Tuckers with us today. Lori, thank you for blessing us with that psalm, and Michael for blessing us with a few songs. We're grateful for that this morning. We're also grateful for our young people who are here with us, those of you who are in our Roots class, Miss Martha's class, even our nursery area. This time is for you to make sure you grab your Leaves bulletin. Hopefully you have a copy of that. You saw the psalm that Miss Lori read just a few moments ago. On the back, it talks about what we're going to talk today in our sermon about Paul's travels and Paul traveling everywhere. And there's a space in there where you can draw a map of your house. I would love to see copies of that if you would like to send that to me. Well, let's pray together and we'll continue. By your Spirit and by your grace, O God, would you pour forth through me the gift of preaching? Help us to have ears to hear and eyes to see. And it's through Christ we pray and do all things again. Amen. We continue our journey through the book of Acts this morning, just as we've done since the beginning of June. We'll jump to a few spots, but if you have your Bibles open to chapter 18, 19, and 20, you'll be all right. We'll keep walking this road for a few more weeks until Acts dead ends at chapter 28. And with our toes hanging off the edge, we'll have to ask ourselves the hard question, now what? Although the word journey might be a worn-out metaphor for some, I still use the word purposefully for a couple of reasons. The first of which is that the word slots well into the Sargent family core value to travel, to go, to walk, to see what's around the next corner. Second, the word journey is in our church mission statement. As God has loved us, we will meet people on common ground and journey together to the higher ground of life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And three, and probably most importantly, Luke, the writer of the Gospel Luke and the book of Acts, is all about journey. He writes of Jesus' resoluteness to head to Jerusalem, straight into the belly of the beast, dying a criminal's death with a meek invitation for us to go with him. Luke, in Acts, writes of how the journey continues with the church, which is nicknamed the Way. And he especially depicts Paul as one who journeys, making an intentional beeline toward Rome and the lion's den. Paul, choosing Jesus, journeys like he did. As he goes, there is this almost Bilbo Baggins-esque there and back again expedition. The outsized passages and acts outsize any vacation we've ever taken. Like in Lystra and Derbe, and how Paul and Barnabas are treated like Greek gods, or Lydia's baptism in Philippi and Paul's miraculous escape from the town's prison, or Thessalonica's mob wars against anyone who defies Caesar's decrees. Last week, we scratched the surface of Athens and the brilliance of its citizens. You can check out on your own later today the wild episode in Corinth, the same city where Paul meets those Jewish refugees, Priscilla and Aquila, who become his dear friends. Next week, we'll step into Ephesus and the barnstorming riot that happens there. Paul, meanwhile, takes on a legendary lore about himself, almost a mythical status. Listen to this from chapter 19. God did extraordinary miracles through Paul, so that when the handkerchiefs or aprons that had touched his skin were brought to the sick, their diseases left them, and the evil spirits came out of them. All of these events are big, momentous, larger-than-life stories that flash off the pages of our Bibles with section headings written in English. They grab our attention, and rightly so, because look at what God and Jesus, by the Spirit through Paul, is doing. But it's also an incomplete picture. If we read between the lines, better yet, if we hear between the lines, we find something more going on. It's the nurturing side of Paul, required if the church is going to make it. In chapter 18, Paul leaves Corinth after staying there for 18 months. He goes to Ephesus and then on to Caesarea to greet the church there, then over to Antioch where he spends some time with that congregation. In verse 23, we read this. Paul set out from Antioch and traveled from place to place throughout the region of Galatia and Phrygia, strengthening all the disciples. Jump over to chapter 20. Paul goes to Macedonia and then to Greece where he stays for 3 months and then back to Macedonia because there's a bounty on his head. Then to Philippi, then on a ship that would take him back to Jerusalem so that he could celebrate the day of Pentecost there. Two things I want to point out. In chapter 20, verse 4, look at who is part of Paul's traveling ensemble. Someone from Berea, two someones from Thessalonica, someone from Derbe, someone from Lystra, two someones from Asia. Paul's message about Jesus in each of these towns and areas he had been to captivated and moved the hearts of these people, so much so that they became roving mediums for the message as well. Second thing I want to point out, verse 2 in chapter 20 says this. Paul traveled through that area, speaking many words of encouragement to the disciples. In all the places where the church is planted, Paul's words of reassurance are like fertilizer upon the soil, cultivating a culture of faith and perseverance and a holy life together. Here is why you decided to follow Jesus in the first place, he reminds them. And here is what you can probably expect from following Jesus from here on out. How the way will turn your life upside down, but permit you to really and truly see. How it will boggle the mind of those who cannot comprehend the suffering of the cross. How it will sometimes feel like none of this faith stuff matters, not when half-baked lies and urgent fires crowd your path, but I assure you that Jesus is right here with you. Paul, when he visits and revisits these cities and churches and stays for a week or 3 months or a year and a half, what he is doing is infusing them with vital nutrients like time, relationship, commitment, intention. He does that by slowly and patiently tilling the fertile spiritual ground. He matures by prayer their dependence on God's Spirit, who is the primary landscape artist. What arises from within these individuals and congregations as a result is the organic and never-ending process we call discipleship. The blood of Jesus pulsing through our veins, the breath of Jesus filling our lungs, the hands of Jesus working through ours. The easy to skip over verses of encouragement and teaching to the few is nowhere close as alluring to the stories of like Paul's Damascus Road come to Jesus conversion or his dramatic prison break or his by the whisker escape from the riots in Ephesus. The day in, day out redundancy of nobody knows but you church work is not as dazzling as the one-night-only tent revivals or raucous rallies. It's not as glamorous as preaching before the masses or speaking at a national prayer breakfast. It's not as satisfying as seeing waiting lines queued up for baptism. Those big, momentous, larger-than-life stories, as grand as they might be, run the risk of making us think that church life should always be like this. And if it's not, then something must be wrong either with the church or with you. That is a smoke and mirrors game that Paul is not willing to play. He knows that without persistent discipleship and without long-suffering disciplers, what churches would be left with are stunted believers and juvenile Christians. That kind of Christianity would have dreadful effects, like accommodating ourselves to shameless talking heads who employ scripture like laser light shows, or book chapter versing ourselves to death. To combat all that, Paul simply and profoundly shows up and stays until he's called elsewhere. He disciples the named sisters and brothers in named towns, teaching them about grace, about God's love, about the cross. In the face of discouragement, he encourages them in their faith. Hold on, he urges them in follow-up written letters. Don't give up because God is with you. You may be tossed about by gale force winds, but your discipleship sends your roots deep. When Brandy created our children's worship program, she named it Roots with discipleship and disciplers in mind, modeling it after Paul's own prayer for the church in Ephesus, which goes like this. I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. The dozens of children and adults who have passed through that classroom, whether they know it or not, have had that rooted prayer prayed over them. So this morning, we sit in praise of people who stay, who settle in, who let their roots grow deep and show others where the living water is, through time, relationship, commitment, intention. We sit in praise of people who disciple because the life of Jesus has captivated them and moved them, so much so that they become mediums for the message. Our teachers past, like Dan Anders and Bill Watson, took on that role for many of you and told you how loved you are. Our teachers today, like Martha and Caleb and Andrea and Mercy and Dorian, do so now, intently studying the scriptures so that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith. Since the classroom is not the only way we disciple, we also look to those who serve with feet and hands, strengthening the rest of us with God's glorious and diverse riches. The Jessicas, the Stanleys, the Dons, the Deborahs, the Carols, the Dans. And we sit in praise of those who simply and profoundly show up. A vastly underrated characteristic in the life of faith. but an incredibly necessary one that sprouts within us an increased gratitude for God's far-flung family tree in heaven and earth. Their presence encourages us, doesn't it? I won't name them since none of them seek the spotlight, and because you are thinking of their names right now. But sometimes the spotlight finds them. Our friend and sister Mary O'Dell, just a couple of days ago, was named the Volunteer of the Year at Memorial Hermann Hospital. Here's the picture of that I posted on Facebook a couple days ago. How good is that? When I talked to Mary on the phone the other day, she said that the people who gave her the award thanked her for her 3,000 hours of volunteer work. Upon which Mary told me, oh, it's way more than 3,000 hours. Mary is not on any social media, so she and her daughter will listen to the sermon tomorrow via our website. But I would like her to know how proud, as a congregation, we are of her. You should send her some notes in the mail. We are a better community, a more abundant congregation, a centered church when we hear between the lines. Because we are then concerned with the work God has for us right here, at this place, at this time, in our community, in our neighborhood, in our homes. Such discipleship, such following Jesus leads us to believe and trust that these efforts, by the work of the Holy Spirit, are among our most lasting contributions to the church now and the one to come. So, church, thank you for showing up today. It makes all the difference. And together, we say aloud or type in, Amen. If you've been following us since June, we've been praying our way through Acts, just as Acts itself does. You have been our writers of those prayers, which I've been able to share with you as a congregation. Ours today comes from Deborah Roberts, whom we know and love so very much. And although she and Lincoln live a couple hours away now, they are very much still a part of who we are as a congregation. Deborah is no stranger to prayer, and she wrote a great one for us today, which I get to share, and Chelsea will post in just a moment to the comment thread. So here's Deborah's prayer for our morning. God, make us your disciples. Empower us to respond to the call of Jesus, to take up our crosses, and to follow you. Surround us with your love, strengthen us with your grace, strengthen us for your service. Even during this pandemic and isolation, help us to reach out to spread the love and blessings to others. In Jesus' name I pray, Amen. Thank you, Deborah, for praying, and thank you for using that prayer. To each of you, let that guide you straight to the table where the bread and the cup await for you, the Christ who is among us and with us even now. So let's do that now for a few moments as we share together.
And it's only through your mercy, Lord, I come.
I bring an offering of worship to my King. deserves the praises that I sing. Jesus, may you receive the honor that you're due. Oh Lord, I bring an offering to you. The sun cannot compare to the glory of your love. There is no shadow in your presence. No mortal man would dare to stand before your throne. Before the Holy One of Heaven, it's only by your blood, and it's only through your mercy, Lord, I come. I bring an offering of worship to my King. No one on earth deserves the praises that I sing. Jesus, may you receive the honor that you're due. Oh Lord, I bring an offering to you. Lord, we come before thee. Feet we humbly bow. Fill our hearts with thy rich grace. Tune our lips to sing thy praise. Tune our lips to sing thy praise.
Let me please remind you about our offering. This is now the time to do that. You can give online, like so many of you do. You can mail in your checks, your money order, your cash. We'll take care of it that way. You can bring it up to the office, and we'll do it that way as well. Thank you for your continued contributions to the work of this community. We are especially grateful for that. Speaking of finances, a couple of weeks from now, we have our annual church meeting and budget presentation. That's still going to go on. We're going to do that via Zoom. That's going to be on October 4th at 11 o'clock. We'll send out information in our newsletter and a couple other ways how to be a part of that specifically. Again, that'll be 11 o'clock Sunday, October 4th, right after our service here on Facebook Live. Our shepherds and finance team have done a great job putting forth a budget that reflects our giving trends, a local missional focus, and as well as meeting our financial responsibilities. So you want to be a part of that in a couple of Sundays. I want to let you know that the Zoom Bible class is still going on every Thursday. If you are part of that, I hear that's going really well, and I get to see that from a distance as well. I know that Andrea teaches so beautifully. We're grateful for that. If you are not a part of that, would like to be, King is your contact for that. Two more things. Caleb sent me a note this week, and you probably saw that in the newsletter. There is a virtual reunion today at 2 o'clock on YouTube, and Chelsea's going to post it, that link right here. A virtual reunion for Ciudad de Angeles, which several of us, my own family included, have gone down to Cozumel to serve and work for a week with the children's home there. If you would like to be a part of that reunion, there's that link, and you can follow that today at 2. Last thing, if you follow us on Facebook, you probably saw that yesterday we had food bank distribution sites right here. That's going to continue every other Saturday through the end of the year. We're grateful to partner with the YMCA and the Houston Food Bank in that because it meets a great need in our community, our neighborhood. All right, how about a benediction? Let's finish today going back to Ephesians, what I read a little bit ago in my sermon. This is from Ephesians 3. I'm going to read from the Message version of Paul's prayer, which reflects our Roots Children's program. I get down on my knees before the Father, the magnificent Father who parcels out all heaven and earth. I ask Him to strengthen you by His Spirit, not a brute strength, but a glorious inner strength, that Christ will live in you as you open the door and invite Him in. And I ask Him that with both feet planted firmly on love, you'll be able to take in with all followers of Jesus the extravagant dimensions of Christ's love. Reach out and experience the breadth. Test its length. Plumb the depths. Rise to the heights. Live full lives, full in the fullness of God. Let us go and do likewise this week. Peace be with you.